Allow me to greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And, may the Lord bless us this morning as we look at His word from the book of Exodus, chapter 1. Let's read chapter 1 of Exodus and verses 8 up to verses 22. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh stores, cities, Pithons, and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of God. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and bricks, and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shifra and the other Puah, "When you serve as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwife feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this? And let the male children live." The midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptians women for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew strong. And because the midwives feared God, He gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrew, you shall cast into the Nile River, but you shall let every daughter live." That's the word of the Lord, and you shall live by it from now on and forevermore. Amen. Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes we don't realize that we are instruments in the hands of the devil. Sometimes we are used by the devil in a way that he wishes to accomplish his mission. And sometimes we don't see that. And he uses us as his instruments to destroy the church of Christ, to destroy the people of God. And I'm just wondering if am I not one of those instruments. Through the language that I use, the actions that I have, wondering if none of us here, or one of us, is not an instrument in the hand of the devil. When I look at this text, always I ask myself, God, where were you? Where were you when your people were suffering? And as I hear that, as I was listening to the prayer of our principal this morning, listening to what is happening in Durban, as the world is suffering also, the church of Christ is suffering too.
The Church of Christ is feeling the pain of suffering through the hands of the devil. Now I'm asking myself always, God, where were you? And what about your promises, God, that you made to our father Abraham when you promised him that you will give him a land, that you will turn him into a great nation, that whoever curses him, you will curse, that whoever blesses him, you will bless. Then God, where were you when your children are suffering like this? I think that's a question that many of us ask ourselves. God, where are you? When the church is suffering, when the church is persecuted emotionally and marginalized, God, where are you? Do you see us? The truth is, God never forgets his promises. It's just his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are never our ways. He does as he has planned and wishes. This morning I preached this word, the word of the Lord, under the following topic. Despite the cruelty of oppression, God was with his people. Our text begins or starts by telling us about a new king who came to power in Egypt. And it is said that this very same king knew nothing about Joseph. You know, I read this text when I was in Sunday school, and I grew up knowing this text, and I always ask myself, how come that this king doesn't know anything about Joseph? Because the very same Joseph is the one who has interpreted the dream of a king. He is the very same one who actually planned all the savings of the Egyptians through famine. He saved food for 7 years. In the history of Egypt, Joseph was known. But the Bible says this man, this new king comes to power and he knows nothing about Joseph. Now this very same king develops anger or an attitude against the people of the Lord. He develops a strange attitude against the people of Israel. But before that, we might say maybe he did not know about Joseph. Or maybe he just ignored history about Joseph. But the Bible says he knew nothing about Joseph. Then see what he does. Now he develops an attitude by looking at the growth and the strength of the people of the Lord. Now he starts to hate them. He develops a wrong attitude towards the family of Joseph. Now when you read verse 7, now you see what caused him to have such an attitude. The Bible says on verse 7, the Israelites were fruitful, they were multiplying greatly and become exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them. Then when you come to the verses that we have read, now you hear this king feeling threatened by the growth of the Israelites, feeling threatened by what he saw the Israelites having. He felt threatened by how they were multiplying and filling up the land of the Egyptians. That caused him to hate them. That caused him to have an attitude or a wrong attitude towards them. And this is strange because when Jacob entered Egypt, it was a few people who entered the Egyptians. But now all of a sudden, now they have increased. They have now become a big nation in the land of the Egyptians. That King Pharaoh felt threatened by what he saw. Then we see some evil attempts against the people of God. We see some evil attempts against the people of Israel, the chosen nation of God, from the king and his people. Look what he does. When you read verses 9 and verses 10, when you read verses 9 and verses 10, you see now the first thing that he does. Now you will see the second thing that he attempted to do. And you will see the first thing that he attempted to do. And all what he was doing, this king, was to stop the growth of this nation. Was to stop the mission of God, which God planned, and none can stop. Now look what he does. The first thing, when you read verses 9 and 10, see what he does. Behold, the people of Israel, now he goes to his advisors, he goes to his people, and listen to what he says to them. Behold, the people of Israel are too many, too mighty for us. Meaning, they are becoming dangerous, and we cannot trust them anymore. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. Now, do you see his reasons? His reasons are not for real. Because he says now these people are becoming many, they are becoming mighty, and if a war breaks, they will join our enemies. And what then happens? They will leave the country. So what must happen? Let us deal with them. Let us do something against them. Let us stop this growth. Let us stop what we see. Let's act against this thing. But let me tell you this. God said to Abraham, I will increase you. I will multiply you. I will make you a great nation. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And whoever blesses you, I will bless. The Lord was busy fulfilling his promise. The Lord was busy doing what he said to Abraham. But Pharaoh thought he can stop the plan of the Lord. As much as some of us this nowadays, we think sometimes we can stop the plan of the Lord. And we can't. But he says to his people, let us deal with them. Let us deal shrewdly. Not only deal with them, but deal with them in a painful way. In such a way that we will push them to submission. Let me say this. My fellow brothers and sisters. The devil loves evil thoughts. The devil loves evil attitude. The devil loves evil opportunities, and he uses them to push his mission. The heart of Pharaoh was grieved by the growth, or was grieved by the work of the Lord within his nation. Now the devil uses such an opportunity, and now he becomes a home for the devil, where the devil will dwell and fulfill his mission in order to destroy the nation of the Lord, in order to stop what he thinks he can do, the growth of this nation of God. Remember, within this nation, the Messiah was to be born. Christ, our Lord. So that is not good news for the devil. And once he saw an opportunity in the heart of Pharaoh, he used the opportunity and he dwelt in it, and he gave him all the plans on how to destroy the nation of the Lord. And he uses these ways. Come, let's deal harshly with them, shrewdly with them. For if we don't, they will become more numerous. And to avoid that, we must stop, or we must work towards stopping their growth, destroying them emotionally, stopping them from becoming a great nation. But I always ask myself when I read this, who are we as human beings to stand against the plans of the Lord? Who are we as human beings think we can stop the mission of God, which has already destined? Now, according to verses 11, now Pharaoh
now and his people, now they do what he planned to do. Now they forced hard labor on God's people and placing slave drivers over them. They forced them into building huge storehouses for the king. They turned them into slaves. Now one of the commentators says, they placed commissioners of tax who had power to lay heavy taxes upon them and obliged them to pay them, which were very burdensome and so afflictive to their minds and tended to diminish their wealth and riches, and obliged them to harder labor in order to pay those taxes. And so, every way contributed to distress them. My fellow brothers and sisters, this was a real persecution against the chosen nation of God by the devil through Pharaoh's hand. But despite, now when you read the verses very well, despite the persecution or despite the oppression, the Bible says in verses 12, the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. The more they multiplied. And as I was reading this, it reminded me of what happened in the book of Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 12. And when you read Acts chapter 11, you read the following words. The hand of the Lord was with the church, or was with them, and a great number of believers turned to the Lord. The church was growing, was growing, was growing. And see what happened. It becomes a threat to the devil. And as it becomes a threat to the devil, he uses his instruments, which is us people, to stop the growth. And when you read chapter 12, it says, about that very same time, Herod the king laid a violent hand on some who belonged to the church of Christ. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jewish, then he proceeded to arrest others. The growth of the chosen people of God, or the growth of the church of God, remains a great threat to the devil and his followers. And the mission of God, or the mission of the church in this world, remains a threat to the devil and his followers. So was King Pharaoh, who was threatened by the growth and the strength of the chosen nation of God. It is unfortunately that the devil doesn't stop when he has an opportunity. Look what he does. Verses 13 and 14, he continues. Because the nation kept on growing. The nation kept on growing. Now look what he does in verses 13 and 14. They made their life bitter now, with hard labor in bricks and mortar, and with all kinds of works in the field. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. The Egyptian continues treating the Israelites ruthlessly, having no pity, being cruel upon them, having no mercy on them, treating them as though they were not human beings. And as a result, their life was bitter, suffering, and broken spirit. And what he said is that we don't read anywhere in the Bible that the Israelites retaliated or plotted against Pharaoh and his people. It was only King Pharaoh, and as an instrument in the hand of the devil, desiring to see this people of God destroyed, to see them questioning the authenticity of the promises of God. Even today, many of us might be experiencing many things in our lives, might be experiencing attacks in our life, through the people that we know, or from fellow believers, and we are pushed at time and again and again, and we start questioning the promises of God. God, where are you? What about your promises, God? What about what you said you will be with us? What about what you said that you will never leave us nor forsake us? Look how we are suffering. Look at the illnesses around us. Look at the killings of Christians around us.
Look how the church is pushed on a corner, never to say anything against the evil of this world. Where are you, God? And this could be the question the Israelites were struggling. What about the promises that he made to our father Abraham? But when you read Romans chapter 8, you get comforted because Paul says nothing can separate us from the love of God as children of the Lord. It says that includes tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. Then he further says, I am convinced nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And as we continue being oppressed, as the chosen nation of God continue being oppressed, the Bible says on verses 12, they were multiplying and they were spreading. And the people of Egypt felt dread of what they were seeing. It reminds me of the words of one of the monks in the Roman Catholic Church, Tertullian, who once said, the blood of the martyrs is a seed of the church. The more you think you can stop the growth of the church of God, the more the true church of God grows. Are you a weapon in the hand of the devil? Are you praying against the church of God? Our former principal once told us a story in a class, and he said, I can't remember if he read it or what, but the story always, you know, keeps me thinking. He says, this missionary was in an aeroplane and he sat next to somebody who looked like a Christian. I'm not sure if that's happening, but who looks like a Christian. And in an aeroplane, as they serve food, this missionary receives his plate and he just prayed for the food you're about to receive. We thank you, Lord. Amen. That's a simple prayer that we all do it. But this one, he prayed for 2 hours. And this missionary started eating. He says, no, I cannot wait for this man to say amen. I can't wait. Then he started eating. Then when he said amen, he asked him, how come you pray for food for so long? And he said to him, now, who told you I'm praying to God? Then he got shocked now. He says, no, I'm not praying to God. But I'm praying that when this aeroplane lands, 50 marriages of pastors should be broken. And the church will be shut down. By breaking their marriages, the doors of the church will be closed. And he was telling us, or then I remember, it was in missiology. And he was telling us, if you don't pray for the church will continue being persecuted. And sometimes, it's not through war, but it's through the prayers of the evil ones. And some of those we trust, some of those we know, some are fellowshipping with us, are praying for the fall of the church. Are you one of them? You pray for the fall of your minister? Who pray for the fall of a choir that worships and fight the evil spirits? Because just by your action, you might be an instrument in the hand of the devil. Let me just say this. Pharaoh was an instrument, was just like an instrument in the hand of the devil. So if some of us are just an instrument in the hand of the devil to destroy the joy of God's people, we're instruments to humiliate the people of God, to inflict pain with our evil actions, to cause disunity in the body of Christ, to inflict pain with what we say sometimes. Then I would say this. If you have a spark of bitterness If you have a spark of anger, if you have a spark of distrust, do what Jesus said. Leave me alone, Satan, for it is written. Because if you give him a foothold, he will capture that and use you. Pharaoh was an open door. Because of his hate, his arrogancy, that they haven't loved such opportunities. And so he starts with a little bit of arrogance, stubbornness, closed ears sometimes. And he loves those things to destroy the church of Christ, to destroy the unity of the church. The scripture says, for this very purpose I have raised you up. This is God saying to Pharaoh, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. If you remember what happened to him, how he suffered, how his soldiers died painfully because of his arrogancy. I'm going to be very careful on time. Don't be stressed. I'm just about to finish. But he did something against the devil. He never stops. Because the nation keeps on growing. The nation doesn't stop growing. Because you cannot stop the plan and the mission of God. Now he approaches the midwives and gives them instructions. That when a boy is born from the Hebrews, kill that boy. That's murder. Kill that boy. And leave the women. Poor women. Because they will be weak in his mind. He's weakening the nation. But the Bible says these women feared God and they could not find themselves being part of the evil plan of the king. So they allowed the children of the Hebrews to leave. And the Bible says, on verses 20, and the people multiply and grew very strong. You know, this reminds me of King Herod in the book of Matthew chapter 2 verses 16. When he ordered his soldiers to go and kill all the young boys from the age 2 years down, so that through that massacre, our Lord Jesus Christ will die. Let me just say this again. If there's a spark of evil in your life, be careful. For the Bible says the devil, or the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He found Judas, and he entered him, and he went, and implemented his plan, and he sold our Lord Jesus Christ, of which he did not know that he was meant to die for us. The devil does not sleep. He knows the evil in our hearts. He knows the evil that we plan. He knows the evil that is boiling in our hearts. Flee from such an attitude. Flee from arrogancy. Flee from covetousness. Flee from evil anger. For he might desire to use you and destroy the lives of the children of the Lord. As I go towards the end, the devil doesn't stop further. Once he sees that the boys are leaving,
The nation is growing. The church of Christ is growing. The nation or the chosen people of God are growing. He could witness the growth. And he was informed. Oh, they give birth before we come and help them. But then he came with another plan. Now to the whole nation. Once you see a boy from the Hebrews, throw them into the Nile River. And one day maybe when I get an opportunity to be here, we'll continue with chapters 2 and see how the Lord, through that, brought salvation. But as I go towards the end, under all these evil attempts against the people of God, the Bible says, the nation of God continued to multiply and spread. And when you read this verse 20, it says, the people multiplied and grew very strong. The Egyptians tried their best through the cruelty of slavery, but it did not work, for God remained faithful to his promises. And as the principle of Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. The wickedness of the Egyptians could hurt the children of Israel, but could never defeat God's plan for them. They continued to multiply and spread. Now you, my dear fellow brothers and sisters, I ask you again, as the church of God keeps on growing, as you see your fellow believers growing, is there a kind of a jealousy developing in you? Bitterness? Anger? Evil thoughts? Boiling in your heart? Because you see the development in the church of Christ or in the life of others? Be careful. Flee from such. The devil loves such opportunities. And you might be an instrument in his hand. He will enter and use you to achieve his mission. We have the Spirit of the Lord in us that enable us each and every day to wear the armor of God and be able to stand firm and say no. For the Bible says, flee from the devil. I mean, reject the devil, and he will flee from you. And through that Spirit, we are able to stand firm and reject the devil. Let's pray. Our Father, who through Jesus Christ made us who we are. Our Father, who crucified his Son just for our sins. Many did not know your plan, God. Many thought they were doing the right thing. They were doing justice by killing him. But you, God, meant it for our salvation. And this morning we are saying thank you, Father, for being called your beloved ones, your royal priesthoods, the royal kings, the great prophets of this world. But Father, each and every day we feel persecuted through words, actions. We feel being pushed to the corner, never to say anything against the evil. But we know you are there, Lord, to strengthen us
to give us hope, means and ways to continue proclaiming the living gospel. And that's the reason we ask you, Father, that you may continue using us in every opportunity that we get to preach your word. For the Bible says your word will never go out without bringing change in people's life. One who receives the word, only one God, it's joy in heaven. That's the reason I ask you, Lord, use us in every opportunity. I pray for my brothers and sisters here, that you may continue protecting them in their families, in their homes, in their ministries. For the devil is always roaring like a lion just to get an opportunity to destroy the joy of worshiping you as our God. I pray for the fellow lecturers, our principal, fellow students, now about to write the exams, our staff, Lord, who stands supporting us each and every day in our work, that, Lord, you may be with us as a family, not here in Kwamhlanga only, but in all our campuses, in our distances, and all the tutors. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you may forever reign in our life and reign in our ministries. All this we lay before your face with humbleness in our hearts. Amen.